Introduction. We see a young girl reading in bed by the light of a lamp clipped to the headboard. It shines a stark, bright white light against the darkness of the room. She dreads turning it off. What if she reached out and something waiting there grabbed her and pulled her down into the dark? This little introduction does a great job getting us into the right mindset for the rest of the book. So let's get into our first story, Our Neighbor's House. Three girls, Mary, Beth, and Hannah, are all left alone while their father goes out hunting. He tells them he'll be gone for 3 days, and if he's not back by sunset on the third day, they must travel to their neighbor's house. On the first day, the girls played games, like Mother's Cup, Widow's Leap, and Crooks and Crosses. I looked these games up, by the way, to see if they're real, and as far as I can tell, they're completely made up, which is pretty impressive because they all sound like they could be real 17th century games. On the second day, the girls did chores, and on the third day, they were struck by a strange lethargy, barely moving at all. As Beth watched the sunset that night, she knew that their father was dead. The next day, Beth began to prepare food and water for their hike to the neighbors, but when she ready to leave, her older sister Mary told her that they're staying or they'll die in the snow. After spending the whole night arguing about it, they went to bed angry. The next day, Mary was acting very different, no longer mad. In fact, she was happy, saying that a man had come to the door in the night, even though Beth had heard no knock and there were no footprints on the snow outside. Mary said that the man was tall with a wide-brimmed hat and a smile that showed all of his teeth. The next day, Mary was gone, along with some of the food, half the water, and her green coat. Beth's little sister Hannah cried all morning, filling the house with wails and leaving her eyes slick and puffy by the afternoon. Outside, the snow had reached the windows and buried the paths. The next morning, Hannah said a man had come to the door. She couldn't remember what he said or looked like, only that he wore a wide-brimmed hat and had a toothy smile. Somehow, Hannah was happy, but Beth was furious, certain that this man had stolen away their older sister. Still, there were no tracks in the snow, so Beth searched every crevice of the cellar and their father's room upstairs, convinced that somewhere in this house the man had Mary. The next morning, Beth woke up completely alone, all the food gone, and the only coat remaining, hers. Tonight, I know a man in a wide-brimmed hat will come for me. So she grabbed her red coat and headed out into the blizzard. Eating the snow for hydration, she journeyed through the cold, picturing her two sisters waiting for her at their neighbor's. One of my favorite pieces of art in this story is this page where the red sun is setting and Beth, in her red coat, is moving towards the isolated house out in the distance. She arrives at the house and knocks on the large door. We see a hand come out from inside and place a wide-brimmed hat on Beth's head. She enters the house and says, "My sisters were wrong about one thing. While the brim of his hat is very wide, and while he does smile, indeed it looks impossible for him to do anything else, it's obvious just at a glance. He is no man." The next story is called A Lady's Hands Are Cold. There was a girl and there was a man, and there was the girl's father who said, "You will marry this man." The newlywed woman made her way to an isolated, wide, white manor, her new home. She found the manor to feel cold and empty. Her room was filled with flowers, and the handmaids wove flowers into her hair as well. They dressed her in blue silks with a scarlet ribbon around her throat. Later, she dined with her groom at a long table. There's some disturbing images here as the man eats his bloody steak with a creepy smile. At the same time, the girl's cheeks are rosy red, and the color connection between the two is unsettling for some reason. That night, the girl was awoken by a soft, sad song echoing through the house with eerie words. "I married my love in the springtime, but by summer he locked me away. He'd murdered me dead by the autumn, and by winter I was naught but decay." The girl got out of bed to find out who was singing this song as it continued. "It's cold where I am and so lonely, but in loneliness I will remain, unloved, unavenged, and forgotten until I am whole once again." As the song ended, the girl found that it seemed to be coming from inside of the walls. The next day, the handmaids dressed the girl in velvety reds and gold, and she spent the afternoon in the gardens. "What was that singing I heard last night?" she asked one of the servants. The handmaid replied that she didn't know, but her hands began to shake as she answered. "Perhaps it was a dream," she concluded. However, that night the singing started again, this time coming from the floor. It continued each night after, bleeding through the halls of the girl's new home. It seeped from the floors, the walls, the stairs, the ceilings, from the house's very bones. Then, this haunting song seemed to settle into the girl's bones, until her insides were clotted with cold heartache. Then one day her husband went out on a hunt. He left her with a kiss on the cheek and a necklace that choked her with a deep red ruby. She went back inside, dismissed her handmaids, and picked up a hatchet. She stood in the tall blue hallway, staring at the walls. Finally, she began to break the wall open with the hatchet, and inside the wall, she found a pair of severed hands, cold and fragile. The girl made a cradle with her skirt and kept the hands in it. Next, she found a leg in the hallway floors, then two arms linked at the elbows beneath a portrait. There was a foot under the chest of flowers and a torso wrapped in a stained gray gown under the stairs. Finally, she found a head. It had white eyes and gray hair with lips as thin as paper. As she held the head in her hands, it began to sing the familiar eerie song. The girl brought every piece of the corpse to her husband's room and arranged the limbs on the floor, binding them together with red ribbon. Suddenly, the dead woman spoke. She touched the girl's hand, saying, "Your hands are so warm, and your soft skin so fair. Did you know, little one, that's my necklace you wear? And my bed that you sleep in, my mansion, my lands? I gave my love everything, and he cut off my hands. Do you think he loves you now? Think you've usurped my role? When I've torn you to pieces, girl, then I'll be whole." The corpse woman pulled the necklace off the girl's neck, and she ran from the mansion through the garden and past her husband, who was returning from his hunt. She ran, though the corpse didn't chase her. Only her husband did, calling after her. Still, she kept running all the way down the low, lonely road. The final page mirrors the first. There was a girl, and there was a man, and there was a lady with cold hands. We see the bride no longer has her rosy, warm cheeks and hands. Instead, they're cold and blue.